one of the things I'd say in that regard, Ron, is to think in terms of like Paul talks about in Philippians 4. When he talks about giving and missions giving and people who are supporting him, and he basically is saying, I'm not doing this because I have these needs. I am looking for what may be credited to your account. And he says that, you sent me, here it is in Philippians 4, he says, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. So it's like when we come to faith in Christ, of course, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But it goes right on to say, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And Paul here is saying, it's like you come to Christ and an account is opened that you can now, by your Christ-centered, Spirit-inspired, God-honoring works, for his glory, not the works that are you know, the works of the flesh, you know, or supposed human merit, but these are the things that God wants us to do, the works he's called us to, and these become like a something we can deposit in an account in heaven. And in other words, this is the doctrine of eternal rewards. So the first thing I would say to financial advisors is understand that any time you talk to your clients about investing in eternity, you are talking about something which is in their best interest. It will pay off for them in this life in terms of joy and satisfaction, and it will pay off for them in the life to come in terms of having pleased the Lord. He will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here are your treasures that are laid up in heaven. And again, we have many misunderstandings of this because we think, oh no, doctrine of reward, that sounds selfish. Now, it's not about selfishness. One of the illustrations that I use, I talk about this in Money, Possessions, and Eternity, and I think also in the Law of Reward. But you know, if I was to say to my daughters when they lived at home, hey girls, how about you, on Saturday, let's have a work day, and at the end of the work day, I'm going to pay you both $50, $60 for the work you've done around the house, and then I'm going to take you out to we'll clean up, I'll take you out to a really nice dinner. Now, if I said that to my daughters, would it be wrong for them to look forward to being paid $50 or $60 for this work, and would it be wrong for them to look forward to going out to a nice dinner with Dad? Well, not only would it not be wrong for them, there'd be something wrong if they didn't look forward to it. I mean, as their father, I want them to look forward to it. So when God promises us eternal reward, we have to remember it was his idea, not ours. Now, if my daughters came to me and said, okay, Dad, we're going to do this family workday thing, but only on one condition. That's if you pay us, give us a financial reward, and then you take us out to a nice dinner. Well, that would be completely inappropriate. But the point is, that would be their idea. And rewards is not our idea, it's God's idea. So I think by realizing that God promises eternal reward and present satisfaction for those who give generously, it completely changes your perspective. Because otherwise you could be thinking, well, I don't know, I'm their financial advisor. Is this a conflict of interest? They haven't hired me to encourage them to give. They've hired me to make wise decisions or give them wise counsel with what to do with their money. Well, the wisest counsel you can give them is counsel to invest in eternity.